transformational event in his life and recognized that with all the forces arrayed against him, he could not stand against them on his own. I think that's important in our word for today. Finally, Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, finally. And maybe some of you are saying that as well. Finally, we've gone through 6 weeks of looking through Ephesians. And we've been given a lot to think about. We've been told about God's marvelous, magnificent, mysterious plan to gather all things up in unity, to gather all things up in intimate relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've been told that they are to be gathered up in Christ. We're told that God had this plan from before the beginning, before anything was created. God had this plan in mind, and that all his creation is part of this plan, so that all things in heaven and all things on earth can be gathered up together. And we've been told by Paul that the victory is already won. The plan is complete. The plan is finished, and yet it's not full. And that's the mystery. You know, the plan is done, but it's still going on. And that's beyond our ability to understand what that means. So after all that, we've been told how to live that out in our lives in general, and our lives as described in terms of the household, husbands and wives, parents and children, master, slave, that whole idea. And Paul says, finally, how are we to stand firm? How are we to stand firm when everything around us is in chaos? When everything around us seems to be falling apart, how do we stand firm at that time? And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And yet, if you really look back, because you'll say, well, how do I be strong? What is the strength of his might? But the word really is be strengthened. Allow yourself to be strengthened by the Lord in his might. And the word, it contains the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. Allow yourself to be filled with God's dynamite, that you can stand strong in God's strength. Put on the whole armor of God, therefore, or toward that end, so that you can be able to stand against the real enemy. And here's where it comes in. Because our real enemy is not people. It's not other people. God didn't create people to be enemies of people. But what evil is, what evil does, it takes God's marvelous creation, God's perfect creation, and twists it into something that is ugly and deformed and not what it was intended to be. There's if any of you are fans of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings and that whole thing, in his mythologies, at least in one part of that, he talks about those orcs, those big ugly brutes that are in the movie. And they were created by, in his mythology, basically to be a mockery of the elves, of the wisdom and beauty of the elves. The idea is all Satan can do is take what God has and twist it. And the only way he can twist you is if you let him, if you give him permission. That's the only way you can be defeated, because you got this whole armor. Put on this whole armor of God, because there is an enemy, and the focal point of his attack, the focal point of the enemy's attack is our ego. The focal point of the enemy's attack is our sense of self-empowerment, our sense of self-whatever, our sense of all that and our disbelief in spiritual powers. That's really what it is. We don't believe that there's anything that we cannot see, touch, smell, hear, taste. We're told day in and day out, and I was just talking with somebody else about that a little while ago, the idea that we have this stuff going on all around us. The world is inundating us with this message that if you cannot prove it scientifically, if you cannot prove it physically, if you cannot see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it, it's not real. And you're not allowed to talk about it. And you're not allowed to proclaim it. Because it's nonsense. And you're told that over and over and over and over again. But Paul wants us to know. He wants us to know that we need to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And if our battle is against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, can we remove ourselves to our own little islands and be safe? Can you build a wall around yourself if you have all these powers arrayed against you and be safe? Can you earn victories against such powers on your own? That's the question. And if you believe, as our Bible tells us, that there is a spiritual battle going on, and if you believe that these powers are arrayed against us, as Paul says here, then you need to decide whether you on your own are able to withstand that and stand up against that. Or if you, like Tony Stark, need to put on some armor. Andrea and I saw a movie last night, Gravity, with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, because she really likes George Clooney. What can I say? But no, it was a good movie. I don't know whether it was a great movie or not, but they are both superb actors. But they're in outer space, and I'm not going to give the whole thing away, but they're in outer space. They're up there doing some stuff, working on the telescope and all that, and all of a sudden, everything that could go wrong goes wrong. And all the network, all the communications network, all the safety valves that are up there for them to be able to survive are being taken away one by one. And they're out there in their spacesuits in an environment where you cannot live without a suit of armor. And as I watched that, and I know the message is, you know, again, no metaphor, no analogy works perfectly. But as I watched that, I was impressed by that fact that we need to have that suit on if we're going to live in an alien environment. And for a Christian, this world is an alien environment. Because everything out there is telling us that what we believe is wrong. And that what we believe is not valid. It doesn't have value. And that we need to be the rugged individualist. We need to be the individual. We need to be self-sufficient. One of the great poets of the 17th century, I don't know if any of you remember him, his name was John Donne, and he wrote, I'm just taking part of it, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind." What other people do around us impacts us. And here, those of you who are going on the crop walk today, those who are in relationship, in conversation, in contact with you, are impacted by what you do and say, by who you are, how you act. And in big situations when everything's going wrong, that's when, like Paul said, stand firm then. Because that's when people are watching. And that's when people are saying, that's how a Christian acts. That's how people who believe and trust, have real faith in God, respond when everything's falling apart around them. Paul Simon, on the other hand, another great poet of the 20th century, I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Think. I am impacted. I am involved with mankind. I am a rock. I am an island. Which works? Which is God's kingdom? Which is his gathering up of all things into unity? Which is his desire for us all to be in intimate relationship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and with each other? The rock, the island? Or I am involved with mankind? I don't have answers other than the answers that Paul provides. And Paul says, therefore, since our enemies are powerful and many and arrayed directly against us, therefore, for that reason, take up the whole armor of God in order that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And then he goes on, stand firm then. Stand firm, therefore, having put on. So put on so that you may be able to withstand, you may be able to stand, and stand then, having put on. The armor of God is what allows us to live in this alien environment, to stand firm against these powers that are arrayed against us in our faith. And be the light that shines. This image of stand then, it continues the tension between what has been accomplished and what is being accomplished, between what we believe and what we are experiencing, our faith and science or physical experience. Christ has already triumphed over the powers, but they still exist and are active in those who are disobedient to God. Stand firm then, having fastened on the belt of truth. And that was a great presentation by the youth. And I really appreciate that. That was well done. Putting on the belt of truth, being prepared. Again, Lord of the Rings, in the second movie, there's a time when they're in Helm's Deep and they're getting ready to be basically annihilated. But you see that scene where they're putting on their armor. They're all putting on their mail. They're fastening their belts. They're getting ready. And God's belt that prepares us is truth. We need to know what is true. We need to have our noses in the Word. We need to have our minds in the Word. We need to be in small group studies. We need to be in Sunday school. We need to be in church. So we know what the truth is, so we can strap it on and be ready. So that when we go out there and people are using other weapons against us, we know what's true. Strap on that belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, these are all metaphors. So the metaphor of who we are and where our faith resides is where? It's in our heart. It's in the center of our chest. Put on that breastplate. Protect that, what's there. Protect the joy. Protect the goodness, protect the grace, protect the compassion, protect the heart of God that's in there, so that when those arrows and spears and lances come, they're just deflected off. Put it on. Put on the shoes of readiness. Be ready to run out and proclaim the good news. The good news of God's grace, the good news of God's compassion, the good news that God loves you. He wants to gather you up in unity, in intimate relationship. He wants that. That was his plan from before the beginning. He wants that for you. He knew you, right? With Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I wanted you to be in relationship. I wanted you to experience my love and my grace. And how did Jeremiah experience God's love and grace on the earth? It wasn't all good times. But he stood firm then, having put on not the armor of the armies, but the armor of God, the armor of truth, the breastplate, the shield, the full protection from the flaming arrows, the helmet. We know we're saved, right? We get that from real young. You're saved. Once you're saved, you walk with Christ. You're saved. We know it in our heads, but everything's beaten against our heads and trying to put other truths in there. Put on the helmet. Protect that head. Protect that knowledge. Know that you're saved. Know that that salvation is something that God gave you, and he is not going to take it from you. The only way you can lose your salvation is to give it away. You hear that? God will not take your salvation. The only way you can lose your salvation is to give it away. Put on the sword, which is the Spirit. The offensive weapon for close combat, those short Roman swords. The actual speaking forth of the message, which is given its penetration and power by the Spirit. We speak the word. We can have that sword in our hand. We can proclaim the gospel, but it's not going to penetrate without the Holy Spirit. It's not our job to penetrate. That's God's job. Our job is just to bring the tools to the work site and be there and be prepared to use them. It's up to God to make them effective. The actual speaking forth of the message, which is given its penetration and power by the Spirit, so that men and women held by Satan might hear this liberating message and life-giving word and be freed from his grip. And finally, Paul does that like everybody else, right? You know, you hear the preacher speak and he says, finally, and you go, ah. And then he goes on for a while later, longer, and then, you know, then says, finally, praying. Prayer is not associated with the armor, but it is the greatest means at our disposal for appropriating the armor. Where does the armor come from? It comes from God. How do we know where to find it, how to put it on? We're in communication with God. We're in prayer. We're talking with God. We're listening to him, and he tells us where to go and how to find it. Praying, watching alertly. What was the problem with the disciples on that last night? They were all sleeping. They had a little too much at that last supper. They were nodding off. They were full and satisfied, and they weren't able to watch. Watch, be alert. And Paul urges us, pray at all times, with all means, with all perseverance, for all the saints. Pray at all times, with all means of prayer, with all perseverance, for all the saints. There's a great little book, and I have a copy in my office if anybody wants to read it. It was written by a guy named Brother Lawrence back in the 1600s. And Brother Lawrence was a monk, and he was in a monastery, and he was the guy in the kitchen. He scrubbed pots and pans. He peeled potatoes and probably turnips or whatever else they ate back in the 1600s. Sure, it wasn't Swanson frozen dinners. And he prayed to God. His life was about making the scrubbing of pots and pans a prayer to God. His life was about peeling potatoes for God's glory. His life was about prayer. What is prayer? Communicating with God, turning all you are to all he is. Giving what you have so he can receive and give it back, blessed. The book is called, if I'm not mistaken, Practicing the Presence of God. It's a little tiny book, but it's amazing how this man lived a life of prayer. Brother Lawrence, pray at all times, with all the means of prayer and supplication, with all perseverance for all the saints, and also for Paul. Paul was in chains. And the greatest commentary I ever heard, it was from my friend down in Norwalk. I guess he got it from a commentary. But he talks about, you know, how Paul was in chains. And I think it's in one of the Gospels, or one of the letters as well. But Paul's chained to the soldiers. Or, if you really want to look at it, they were chained to Paul. And what they heard all day long was the good news. We need to see ourselves in that way. We're chained to certain facts and things in the world, but you know what that means? The world is chained to us. And if they really get bored, they're going to have to listen to us. And if we're looking for those opportunities to share, they will happen. They will happen. People will ask questions just in passing. Just be prepared. How are you prepared? You're in constant communication with God, so he's first on your mind. You're wearing that armor. So nothing can deflect you from your purpose. We are to put on God's armor. We are to depend on God's power, because we cannot stand up to all those powers that are arrayed against us on our own. But in God's armor, we are indeed awesome. Lord, thank you for these words. Bless them to us. Take what I have said and put your power and your grace and your intent into them, so that we may receive what you have for us this morning and be not only blessed, but awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. We have one last song we're going to sing together. It's an older song, but we're going to do a little something with it. So stand with us. You recognize the words? Much more than we can ever imagine. Pour out his power and his love. Arm us in his armor, so that as we walk out into this world, we can be confident that he is in us,
around us, over us, below us, behind us, before us, and we are safe in his arms and able to share his good news. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.